نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اعلموا عباد الله أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، عباد الله، my dear brothers and sisters, first and foremost I would like to say to all of you, Eid Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasting, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah accept your Qiyam. May Allah accept your good deeds of Ramadan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make the deeds in Ramadan altogether heavy for you and your scales. And with that you'll be entering Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as-salihin. Now that Ramadan is over, and the Eid, alhamdulillah, is also over. Now what? What's next for me? What's next for you? What do you want to do? Are you going to go backward? Are you going to go and move forward? This is about moving forward after the month of Ramadan. You see, as human beings, it's just like in technology. You don't go backward on technology. You should always go forward. You should always move forward, which means you always look for updates and upgrades. Every single year, when a new software comes out, what do? Do you go and you install something that is old version of it, or are you going to install something that a new version of it? Now, my question for myself and for all of you, what kind of version of yourself would you like to install after the month of Ramadan? Are you going to be installing 2.0 of yourself, or are you going to go back and just install 1.0 one more time? What is it that you're going to be doing after the month of Ramadan? Self-improvement is very essential and very important. In this khutbah, inshallah, I want to share with you this concept. The concept of moving forward after the month of Ramadan. And the concept of self-improvement and development and updating yourself every single day. Not just every single year. But at least we keep it in our minds. After Ramadan, it's time to update and upgrade. Not the opposite. Why is that? Because in Islam, it's all about moving forward. Not about going backward. You see, when the Prophet ﷺ, he was presented by, in an incident that we all probably have learned when we were young, when Jibreel came to him in the form of a human being, and then he sat in front of him. He had his hands, alayhi salam, on the thighs of the Prophet ﷺ, and he started asking him questions. قَالَ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Tell me about Islam. Tell me about Iman. Tell me about Ihsan. He was asking him one question after the other. And the Prophet ﷺ was giving the answers. Islam was so-and-so, Iman was so-and-so, and Ihsan was so-and-so. So basically he was answering about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And if you understand the meaning of this hadith, it's actually the process of development. That's a life journey. Your life is all about moving from being Muslim to being mu'min to being muhsin. Again, it's all about being Muslim, being mu'min, and being muhsin. Muslim, this is when you practice the regular acts of faith. And mu'min, when you have that in your heart and you improve and more, you become more spiritual. So you're Muslim, you're religious. When you're mu'min, you're spiritual. And then there's now higher than just being spiritual. There's muhsin. Means you being perfect in your good deeds. That's the highest level of al-Islam. Before Ramadan, we were Muslimin. We were religious. During the month of Ramadan, we added more. We became mu'mineen. Because why would anyone even fast starve themselves, you know, all these hours for 30, 29 days back to back? Why would anyone want to stay up all night doing all these things? It has to be with iman, that they believe there's a reward for what they're doing. And now that Ramadan is over, what is left for us is to go back to Islam or moving forward to ihsan. That's my question I always ask myself after the month of Ramadan. Am I going to go back again to Islam, which means just being religious and do the basics? Or should I move from being alhamdulillah, doing more in Ramadan, to doing perfect after Ramadan, to the ihsan level? And we all know that the whole creation was created for ihsan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning of Surah Tabarak, He says, He created life and death, al-mawta wal-haya. For what? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to try you, to test you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who will be most perfect in their deeds. Ramadan now is over. This is the time we upgrade, we update, we move forward, we don't go backward. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even he taught some of the Sahaba this principle. Like if he knew someone was good, he would ask him to do something better and even more. In the story of Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Umar, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a dream her brother saw. Abdullah ibn Umar was a young guy. He felt so shy to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, but of course he has connection. So he went through his sister and he asked her, he says, could you please ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about my dream? So Hafsa approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her husband, and she told him what her brother saw. He gave her the interpretation. But then he added something extra to it. He said, you know, talking to his wife right now about her brother, he says, نِعْمَ الرَّجُلْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ يَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Like Abdullah, what a wonderful guy. I wish he would wake up just to do قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. Like what he's missing is to wake up for tahajjud. That's what he's missing. So Hafsa, she went to Abdullah and she told him, the Prophet said so and so about you. And Abdullah since then was never seen at night sleeping the whole night. Every single night he would probably wake up at least to do 2 rak'ah. Now that's what you call upgrade. That's what you call update right now. He's moving forward, he's not moving backward. Since then he never stopped doing that, radiallahu ta'ala an. And what was the result of being so and doing so? He became one of the most popular sahabis who following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't stop on this one. He knew, he understood, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want me to do more and do best. So he was always following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to try to do everything the Prophet would do. He was even to the extent, some people they say he was so much into the sunnah that he became very literalist even with the practices of the Prophet sallallahu wasallam alaihi. But the point made over here is that Abdullah never stopped developing, never stopped improving, never stopped moving forward. And that's what we need to do. As-Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, even as-Sahaba, they understood that. And they looked for it. So in the story of the poor people, even those who didn't have much, they didn't have much. What could they do? So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ذَهَبَ أَلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. Ya Rasulullah, the rich people, they're getting all the reward. They pray, we pray. They fast, we fast. But then they give, we don't have anything to give. Like they're getting all the reward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, you know, I know something that if you practice, you will get similar reward to what they're doing. Like, wow, even if you don't have money and you do something that doesn't have to cost you anything, you still get the same reward like giving charity. And the Sahaba, they said, what is it, Ya Rasulullah? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you do tasbih. And he said to say such and such of tasbih and this adhkar and so on. So he gave them the certain dhikr of it. And this Sahaba, which is specifically the one that you do after regular salawat, the 5 daily prayers. So they start doing this and they were very excited. Alhamdulillah, now we're in the next level. Guess what happened next? The same poor people, they come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, our brothers, the wealthy people, they heard about it and now they're doing it. Like, you see, they heard about this and now they're doing this too. Like, what are we going to do now? And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl of Allah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whomever he wills. The point from this hadith, once again, is that these sahaba, they were always looking for opportunities for improvement. Always looking for that. How many times the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyul amali afdal? Which of the good deeds is the best? What's the point of asking this question? Just to record that and just make a post on it or on Twitter or social media and say, Masha, this is the best of good deeds? Okay, are you doing it? Are you part of this? Are you practicing this? That's the whole point. The Sahaba, they would ask for the best good deeds so they can achieve. And they think of the worst deeds so they can stay away from. It's about self-development. It's about moving forward in their lives. It's always about moving forward in Islam and in Iman. SubhanAllah, even the ladies of the sahabiyat, the female sahabis, they had that concern too. Obviously, in a traditional society, well, people, they expect women to be confined to her house, taking care of the husband and family and so on. So they thought that they're getting less reward because the men are doing all that stuff of going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salatul jama'ah, and all these things. So they went to the Prophet complaining, Ya Rasulullah, the men are taking all the reward. What is left for us? So she was asked, she was telling, Ya Rasulullah, they go with you for hajj, they go with you, you know, for ibadah, for ta'a, for jihad, fi sabilillah, they fast, they pray jama'ah, and we don't do these things. We don't have time for these things. So how are we going to match with them, you know, in terms of rewards? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so excited about the question that he even brought it to the attention of the people around him. He said to the men, have you ever heard a lady who is more eloquent in presenting her case like this lady? And they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, that's very smart. That's very intelligent, really. It's amazing, basically. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you tell the ladies who sent you that, you know, taking care of their household is equivalent to all the reward they're looking for. Like basically, if you're already busy, you don't even have much time left for you to do individual ibadah, Allah is rewarding you with your intentions, even if you don't have time for it. Just being busy, taking care of what you need to take care of, it's more rewarding for you. But again, it was all about self-development and improvement. They were looking for opportunities to move to the next level, not going backward on their good deeds. So my dear brothers and sisters, now that Ramadan is over, and Eid is over as well, and many, many people now slowly and gradually going back again to what they considered normal schedule. Why do you call it even normal schedule or regular schedule? Why? Why can't you start a new norm? Why can't you create a new norm? That new norm is a new thing that you develop, that you do, and it becomes something better. And again, it's self-improvement. And slowly and gradually, even if you make some changes, positive change in your life, every year after every Ramadan, 10 years from now, you will be, inshallah ta'ala, way ahead of where you are today. But if every single year after the end of the month of Ramadan, we just let go, because we know, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to have to go back again to my normal lifestyle and schedule and this and that. What happened to the time when you were able to come for Salat al-Isha or wake up before Fajr to eat a meal or do this or do that? What about, you know, when you were taking break during your lunch hour and you go and you pray Salat al-Jama'ah, Salat al-Dhuhr at the masjid? What happened to all these opportunities? It was easy for you then. So what really changed? What changed is the way we think, the way we believe in ourselves, that we can't keep up with that. So therefore, just let it go. We go back again to our regular schedule, a normal schedule. Basically, what we're doing, we are submitting and we are going backward. Instead of actually upgrade, we downgrade. Don't do that to yourself. And here are a few tips, inshallah ta'ala, how you can continue improving bi'nillahi azza wa jal. The first advice I want to give to you is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revered first, the most, which was the most important thing. He said, Iqra. Read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Reading is a lost skill in our time, unfortunately. And by the way, when I say read, I don't mean reading the comments on your social media and your WhatsApp groups and all. That doesn't count. No, I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about you reading the titles and the headlines of things and just keep forwarding to other people. We're not even clicking on the link to read what's in that article. No, I'm talking about serious reading. Reading with a purpose. That you read in order to learn something new. Not just for entertainment. Read to learn something new. That's what counts. And there is so much you could read, subhanAllah. Even if you go and read on the internet, there is so much you could read there. But it has to be with a purpose. Has to be with a certain schedule, with a certain, you know, intent in there. Not just reading for the sake of just, you know, say that I read something. Obviously, reading books, unfortunately, if reading was a lost skill, look about reading books, subhanAllah. Not so many people reading books anymore. Because it's too long, it's too boring, it's too static. It's not dynamic anymore. Watching a 30-second video about the same concept is better than sitting there for 2 hours reading 3-4 chapters from a book. But you know what? If you really want to have development, self-development, you have to endure some hardship. And reading is one of those skills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. Knowledge is power. Are they equal? He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who know and those who know not. Obviously the answer is no. So knowledge is power. The more you know, the better you will have, inshallah, the better you deal with your life and your things. And even to show how important knowledge in Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he dealt with the prisoners of wars after Badr, the Battle of Badr, they were 70 plus. He ransomed them out sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and part of the ransom that he suggested for them, that if any one of you, he told them, if anyone of you is an educated person, if anyone can teach 10 children from the Medina community, if anyone can teach 10 children how to read and write, you're free. Like teaching children would set them free. This is how important knowledge is, ya jama'ah. Now, what are you going to be reading this summer? Go ahead. Go and read. Read whatever you want. Obviously, I would like to recommend for you to put the Quran at the top of your list. And hadith also comes right after that. Read from Riyadh al-Salihin. Read from Bukhari, from Muslim books of hadith. And then read whatever you want after that, as long as something that's beneficial for you in dunya and the akhirah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he used to say, I hate to see an intelligent, strong man sitting idle, doing nothing. Like he said, nothing. لا في شغل من الآخرة ولا من الدنيا. Like I hate to see a young guy who's strong, who's intelligent, can have so much time in his hand, and he's doing absolutely nothing to benefit his dunya or even akhirah. Like fine, you don't want to do something for the akhirah? Would do something good for your dunya. Something that would earn you position, would earn you money, would earn you something that would improve you, would help you, inshallah, become a better Muslim, hopefully. But do something that is beneficial, and you have to learn, and you have to read in order to get to that level, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Another thing I would suggest in this summer, which is something people in Ramadan, many, many people in Ramadan were coming asking this question, alhamdulillah, which is beautiful. And even after Ramadan, people came to me and they asked me, Sheikh, you know, how can we learn or improve in our Arabic language? So that's my suggestion for you. Learn a new language. Whether it's Arabic, Spanish, whatever that is. I'm assuming that you already know English, right? So basically, learn a new language. Because subhanAllah, learning a new language, it's really important. It helps your brain, you know, developing. And it's a new challenge that will open your horizon for many, many things. In addition to that, if you learn the Arabic language, you have no idea the treasure box that will open for you. The treasure box. When you open the Quran, you start realizing you know the words. When you open a book on seerah, hadith, whatever that is, you read and just like, wow, I can get 15%, 20% out of this paragraph. That's better than zero. Slowly and gradually becomes even better and better, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. You see, Rasulullah understood that, and let me show you an example how learning a language can take you good in dunya and akhirah. The example of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Thabit was a young sahabi. He was a young child, a tween or teenager, when the Prophet moved into Medina. And the Prophet now, suddenly being a state man, he needed to correspond and communicate with the nations around him, with the people of different cultures. Mainly, of course, the Assyrians in Syria and other places. So the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that they spoke different languages. So he went and he asked the Ansar, tell me, I need someone who can help me understand the language to communicate with these people. So they brought him Zayd. So Ya Rasulullah, Zayd ibn Thabit. He was, some they say 11, some they say 13. So the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a bright kid. He goes, I want you to go and learn a Syrianiya for me. Like, go and learn the Aramaic. So he went and he came in a few weeks. He came to the Prophet and said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I mastered it. I learned it. Obviously, they had the Jewish community there and they could learn from them these different languages. And also he asked him to learn the Hebrew language, which he did. SubhanAllah, he became like the trusted scribe for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Communicates with the Prophet. Of course, you send the letter on the behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that same Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu became Katib al-Wahi, an official scribe for the Wahi, the revelation. Because of that status, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he was in his early 20s. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he immediately formed a committee to compile the Quran in one mushaf, in one volume. And he collected some of the brightest people within the community to take care of that huge task on the ummah. Guess who was the head of that committee? Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn Thabit was the man who led the committee to compile the Mus'haf in one volume. If the Prophet trusted him that much, Abu Bakr as-Siddiqi says, who else? It must be Zayd. Fast forward, another decade later, a little bit more, it was Uthman's time. And there was a dispute over the calligraphy and the standardizing of the Mus'haf, how to write it down. So, radiallahu anhu, he called another committee. Now, Zayd, he was already acting in his 30s. And he was just basically called to become the head of that committee again. The standardized Mus'haf that we read today was also the effort of Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, arda. Look how just a simple task such as learning another language made big difference in the life of this young man, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Zayd ibn Thabit was one of the greatest sahaba and the greatest ulama of the ummah. So try it out in the summer. If we want to learn the Arabic language, I'm not asking you to learn how to say good morning and good evening. I'm asking you to learn how to read it, at least to read the Quran. And then start learning a few words to understand what you're reading, and hopefully, inshallah, you get to the point where when you listen to the Quran or read it, it will be enough for you to enjoy the meanings of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is talking to you through the Quran. That's what it means when you understand directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be communicating to you through the Quran. Who doesn't want to have that communication in Jama'ah? That's a private line, private communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Another thing I would like to recommend for ourselves, inshallah, in this month of Ramadan, exercise. I know it's a simple task. When you think, yeah, alhamdulillah. Well, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exercised. He used to compete with the Sahaba, you know, wrestling, and he used to run with them, and he used to even make competitions and contests, salawatullahi wasalam alayhi, in Medina. There is a masjid in Medina. When I used to be in Medina, actually, student in Medina University, there was a masjid there, they called Masjid al-Sabaq. They're like saying the racetrack masjid. Why is that? Because that masjid where they had the racetrack where they used to race their camels and their horses. When the Prophet ﷺ used to tell the people, whoever wins first, gets such and such. He was actively engaging the community in exercise, salawatullah, because he knew what does it mean to be healthy. And even when the Prophet ﷺ took the Sahaba for Hudaybiyah, after the Hudaybiyah for the Umrah, there were rumors among the people of Mecca that Humma al-Madina ahlakatum and hakatum. That the Humma means the allergies of Medina, because Medina was an agrarian society, was moist. Mecca was a dry land. So when the Sahaba moved from Mecca to Medina, they got sick. So they thought that that's it. They're dead. They're weak. They can't, you know, stand a chance against them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard these rumors, he asked the Sahaba as they were doing their tawaf around the Kaaba during that Umrah. He said, show your right shoulders. And that's why when you do Umrah, you actually reveal your right shoulder. He said, show your right shoulders, reveal your shoulders. And then he says, when you go around the Kaaba, do al-khabab. Al-khabab is more like a military jogging. So when they jump, basically, or bounce around the Kaaba, which means they're just running and jogging around the Kaaba, not just walking. He said, رحم اللهم رأن أراهم منا قوة. May Allah have mercy on somebody who shows them might and strength. So they did the first circles around the Kaaba with that sense of power to show the people of Mecca who are sitting at the mountains, looking at them, and then they would say, Wallahi ma bihum min ba's. You know what? They're just fine. Like, wow, they're just fine. Like, we thought they would be weak, but no, they were not. The point here is that it's even sunnah that you exercise. Don't tell me I'm too busy for this. Do it at home. Anywhere. It doesn't have to be hours. Just at least have in your mind, as a believer, I need to stay healthy so I can do my duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. And then for my family, and then for my community. Our ulama, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi ta'ala, he used to hike the mountain of Qasiyun in Syria, up and down, regularly. Regularly. Ulama, they do that, radiyallahu ta'ala wa ardaam. So it's time for us to upgrade to the next level, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it, ya rabbal alameen. Aqulu qawli hada wa astaghfirullah al-azim lakum wa lisaa muslimina fa astaghfiruhu innahu al-ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم ما بعد, عباد الله, my dear brothers and sisters, there is much more we could do to improve, inshallah ta'ala, in this summer and move to the next level and moving forward after the month of Ramadan. Two last things I want to share with you quickly, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. First of all, seek mashura. Don't be on your own. Don't do it on your own. Ask those who have, alhamdulillah, improved in their lives. Ask them, what were the secrets? How did you do that? How could you still maintain coming to the masjid regularly, even though I have the same schedule like yours? How do you have time to go to the gym, for example, to exercise and so on? Ask those who are doing better in dunya and akhirah, and that's part of your religious duties. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, that they enjoin good among themselves? And they're asking each other, you know, to be patient. We need to do that. So make sure that you do so. That is your religious duty, that you ask others to help you out with this, inshallah ta'ala. And when you do so, the last point, inshallah, don't listen to the muthabbitin and muhabbitin. Don't listen to the negative comments and negative people. You know, some people, regardless how much you try, they always pull you down. Like, yeah, I've been there, done that, don't worry about it. Don't listen to these people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was young, he said, I used to go and learn from Mu'ad ibn Jabal and other senior sahabis. He had an Ansari friend. That Ansari friend told him, hey, Ibn Abbas, who you think yourself? You think people, they're going to come after you to learn from you? Just like, quit it. Ibn Abbas, he said, so I cut ties with him. Like, that's it. I stopped listening to him. And he continued. Years later, Ibn Abbas became the second tier of the ulama of the ummah. And this young Ansari, one day was walking by the halaq of Ibn Abbas in the masjid. And he goes, this Qurayshi kid was smarter than me. So it's basically, they didn't listen to him, and that's where he ended up. And subhanAllah, I remember even one of our mashayikh, Al-Shaykh al-Shanqiti, hafidhahullah ta'ala, told us the same story. He said this happened with him as well. When he says, one day, Shaykh al-Shanqiti, hafidhahullah, right now is one of the ulama of the haram in Medina, and he was the khatib of Quba in Medina as well. He said after he gave a khutbah in Quba, people, they come to him, they shake hands with him, they want to kiss his head and this and that and so on. And then he said a guy comes to him and he trying to kiss his head, the sheikh keep pushing him. Eventually, after he did, he asked him, he told him, do you remember me? So the sheikh is looking at this man the same age and just like, I don't know, I've seen tons of people, yani, for the past years. He goes, well, I'm Fulan. He gave him his name. He says, we used to be friends and classmates sitting next to each other during middle school. So in middle school, there was classmates. But subhanAllah, Sheikh al-Shanqiti, he went and he continued taking the path of seeking knowledge, improving and upgrading in that path. And his friend, he just went to the path of, you know, the dunya. Not saying that he was committing a'udhu billah anything haram, but he just went and continued the same path without any seeking any improvement in his iman and his deen. He said, subhanAllah, look what happened. Even though we were classmates, but how the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge got him to the level that even his classmate would kiss his head. Improvement. Moving forward after Ramadan, this is your duty, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. When you finish, inshallah, from this khutbah, I want you, before you do anything, think about it. What is your next step in order to move forward after the month of Ramadan? Allahumma allana ma yanfa'na, wa anfa'na bima allamtana, innaka anta al-alim al-hakim. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wa zakki anta khayru man zakkaha, أنت وليها مولاها. عباد الله, إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان يوم الدين. وأقم الصلاة.